the show.
Blog Talk Radio.
I don't know. I'm just be there. Feel the time. Whatever happens.
You're listening to Shift the Shore Radio. Radio.
Terrific defense by Wade and a nice rebound by Bosch. Here comes Wade. For the ball! Rock City East strikes again!
You can see it coming all the way. LeBron was up ahead of him in the right lane.
Take a look around, tears from their eyes, knees on the ground, money in the sky. Take a look around, ain't shit nice, prayer for my life, hope I make it through the night. I take a look around.
And he drives it to center field, that's all deep. Back on Schaefer, at the wall,
take a look around.
Gone! My goodness! An absolute bomb!
Reggie Bush with a big hole, hurdling a defender, and there he goes! And the dagger for the Miami Dolphins!
Take a look.
This is the Southernmost Sports Wrap, only at Ship to Shore Radio.
LeBron James caps off an MVP regular season with a magnificent playoff run and an extraordinary performance in the finals. No doubt he'll be named the finals MVP. We'll get an official coming up in a little bit as the shot clock is turned off. The Miami Heat are once again NBA champions. LeBron James captures that elusive title he so desperately coveted.
It's another edition of the Southern Sports Wrap, and I am here live from Miami. And I do have my friend Ryan Brooks. We'll call him Hootie for the night. How you doing, Hootie?
Doing good.
Yeah, we're just chilling in Miami, and of course, we're all celebrating the NBA championship down here. It did happen, of course, last Thursday night. It seems like the last three Thursdays have been huge games. There was one was game two. One was game five where they closed it out, and the previous one was game six of the Celtics series when they were facing elimination. So it's been tough for the Zen Man to focus on the radio show and the Heat. But the Heat got it done, so now I'm just chilling here. I have a show now at 8 o'clock, and I will replay the show at 11. Zen Man is pretty busy on Thursdays, but somehow I'm going to give you guys a good radio show at 11 o'clock, so that's all that matters. And right now, just speaking of basketball, we do have the NBA draft going on. To be honest with you, I don't follow college too much. I watch it. I love March Madness. But beyond Anthony Davis, I didn't really know, any of the big picks going on. But I do have – it started at 7:30, and I do have the update of the live draft right now. Anthony Davis did go to the New Orleans Hornets, who had the number one pick. Charlotte was supposed to get the number one pick. That was the plan all along. After finishing with the worst record in NBA history – they actually ended up getting the second pick. As you all know, when it comes to the draft for the NBA, it's not who has the worst record. It just that means you have a better chance of getting the number one pick. The lottery means you have more balls in the pit to come up. It's just like the regular lotto. But unfortunately, the Charlotte Bobcats did not get the number one pick. They got the number two pick. The first five picks are already in. The number one pick, obviously, was Anthony Davis from Kentucky. He went to New Orleans. And Michael Jordan there, the GM of the Charlotte Bobcats, he decided to pick Michael Kidd Gilchrist from Kentucky. So two Kentucky players in the first two picks of the NBA draft. Not sure that's ever happened before. Those are your top two picks. Washington picked Bradley Beal from Florida, who is definitely the best shooter so far picked. Number four, Cleveland picked Deion Waiters from Syracuse. Sacramento, with number five pick, picked Thomas Robinson from Kansas. And number six, Damian Lillard got picked from Weber State. Now, just if you look at the draft, Boston sitting there with the number 21 and number 22 pick. Well, probably the number 21 pick. And one person who might possibly get picked is Austin Rivers, guard out of Duke. Had a good season. Never really a top five, a top ten pick. But there is some pressure on Doc Rivers, who was the head coach. And, yes, he is his father. And I've heard some reports that they're going to try to move up in the draft, try to get Austin Rivers. Do you think there's any pressure, Hootie? Is there any pressure on the Boston Celtics to draft Austin Rivers, seeing that his dad is the head coach?
Well, the coach is definitely going to be looking to get him, but, you know, really, he's got to look at what's best for the team and, all, you know, is it a good fit? You know, he's just going to be happy that, you know, his son gets into the NBA no matter what, but, you know, he can't really push for that unless it's a good fit, and it's got to come down to the players and, you know, upper management if they feel that he's going to fit into the scheme that they have.
Of course. The only bad thing, the only downside of this entire thing is just, all right, you hurt your son's feelings. There's an entire franchise behind everything else. But do you think maybe there's a thought process behind it that if his father is the head coach, that maybe it'll be it'll benefit the team or the player itself?
Well, he'll definitely know the scheme of the team to begin with. I mean, he's been watching his father coach the team, and his father's theories and every way he plays is something he grew up learning. So he would definitely know the scheme of the team. It's just a matter of if he fits in, if he's that shooter they need, or if he's that, that extra man, the big man, or the passer that they need. You know, and they also might not want him to come in just because, you know, it's a family thing. They don't want the favoritism. They don't want coach going light on him. Or something like that.
Yeah, true. I mean, I don't see a big story brewing here, but there is talk that the Celtics might move up to get him. And I can't help but to think that there's got to be some kind of relationship, the coincidence between that and the fact that Doc Rivers is his dad. But in all aspects of Celtics, they're actually an important team here because they got to start getting younger. That big three era plus Rondo is done. KG will, you know, there's talks of him retiring. He won't retire. He's not the type of player. But maybe he doesn't come back to the Celtics. Same thing with Ray Allen. Regardless of any talks, he might come to the Heat. The Celtics obviously need to get younger. Do you think that era is over? I mean, it's about, you could think about maybe five more years before that team makes any kind of run.
The team that they have right now is, in my opinion, is definitely over. They won't make it. This was their last run at it. They didn't make it this year. The squad that they have will not be together and make it. They will start breaking apart this franchise to start building young. KG may stay. I mean, Rondo's going to stay, definitely. You know, there's already, like you said, the talks of Ray Allen being gone and possibly the Heat picking him up, which I don't think is really going to happen. I don't think, you know, Pat Riley will make that move. So that team is definitely going to be dismantled. They're not going to get a championship ring together, the current team now. It's going to be dismantled, and they will start fresh. One or two players of the older players may stay, but outside of Rondo, I don't see anybody else, any major key players staying.
Now, some other rumors that I heard, you know, I talk about a lot of sports, obviously, my own job, and one in particular, I talk about the Lakers a lot. They are one, they're still good. Kobe is still good enough to make a run. Now, my question to you is, they're thinking about trading Pau Gasol and Ron Artest, Meta World Peace, to possibly try to get a draft pick here. Do you see the Lakers who do they have to get? I mean, I know this is just talking about the Lakers in the draft. It has a lot to do with everything, but who do you think? I mean, the Lakers, is that a good idea to try to get some like that one extra piece by trading Meta World Peace and trading Pau Gasol to move up in the draft to get a better player?
Meta World Peace, he's nothing but problems for them. He spends a lot of time on suspension. Gasol, he's winding down, so it's definitely time to get somebody young. Kobe's not so young, but he still runs like a young gun. So I think that if they get somebody else, they could just energize with him and work with him. You know, maybe, you know, a three or a four who can run the floor with him, and a point guard that just, you know, that can and feed the ball to him, can bring the ball up and just Kobe all day long. That'd be good.
True. You know, there's so much talk about Dwight Howard, but I think he's going to stay put. But one team I think might make a move is the new location, Brooklyn Nets. You have an owner there that obviously likes to have a good time. Jay-Z, he's got all the money in the world. I just in my mind, I think the Nets are going to try to get a couple of key players this offseason, whether it be Darren Williams, who they already have. Obviously, Dwight Howard's a big name. Maybe try to land a couple players from L.A. because, you know, L.A.'s payroll is just out of this world right now, and they got to start cutting up. Do you think the Brooklyn Nets are going to possibly be the team next year? Or what are your thoughts on big offseason trades? Do you think there's going to be any teams that are going to fall off or possibly get really, really good?
New Yorkers expect a lot. And now that he has moved the team into New York, I mean, he wanted to get, you know, LeBron or Wade when they were going through the big deal a few years ago. He didn't get them. Now he's moved the team into New York, and New Yorkers expect a lot from their team. So now that he's in Brooklyn, which is like the heart of New York pretty much, I mean, outside of Manhattan, which is the Knicks, but I mean, he's as close as he can be, and these fans are going to expect a lot from him. So to give what the fans want, he's going to make as many deals, and he's going to be willing to throw as much money at this team as can be. So I look to see him making as big a deal as he can make at this point to get whatever he can to team in the first year in the new arena. And he's going to go all out just to try and get at least finals in the first year.
Yeah, two thoughts on that. One, look at the baseball side of it, the Miami Marlins. They had a new stadium, and they spent money. They went out and got Jose Reyes, Martin Furley. He fell, who he hasn't really turned out to be all that great this year, but they went out and got the big money players. They've had success. Not a great month this year. Their record's hitting month last year with wins. But just on the other side of it, you know Jay-Z is a winner. He's dropped all these albums. He's been nothing but a winner. He doesn't want to sit here and just have the next chapter of his life have a losing team. You know, he's used to winning, so I think he's going to do whatever it takes to get it. He's got all the resources possible. I mean, you're going to talk about his side of the. He's probably got, what, $500 million. Shit, maybe he runs out of money. He may have to go to a dip into Beyonce's pocket. I don't know. But he's going to find a way.
Well, she's got the other billion. It's all good. $2 billion payroll. I'm sure they could win a championship.
Well, the Yankees have a $2 billion payroll, and they're having some trouble. So.
Wow.
It's all right. But it's moving on to top news. I'll keep you guys updated with the draft. Updated right now. I left you off at number 6, who was Damian Lillard from point guard from Weber State. One other pick has it in is number 7, Golden State, Harrison Barnes from SUS. Small forward from the University of North Carolina. And just moving into some more top news, Lamar Odom fell off the map last year. Obviously, he's a big hit TV star now, dating the Kardashians, married now, and I believe a kid on the way. If I'm wrong, my bad. I don't watch all the shows, but he obviously had a lot going on. He got traded to Dallas because L.A., I guess, couldn't afford him anymore. And he quit the team. He stopped playing, and he's been nothing for the last year. But he's still, obviously, what he's done throughout his career, he's still considered a good basketball player. And now a lot of talks that the Clippers might be getting him. And they're saying, I mean, it's going to be like a 3-4 team trade. But it would end up with the Clippers getting Lamar Odom. How do you feel? Do you think Lamar Odom still got a lot of in the tank? Can he help the Clippers with Chris Paul and Blake Griffin down there?
He's good as the extra man. He's good as that X factor. You know, people are going to be looking to Blake when the ball goes inside or looking for Blake, you know, if he stands outside. Odom's going to rebound. I mean, they can get him, and he'll be a good rebounder. You know, he'll be that extra leg if, you know, you push out, you know. So he can actually help that team out because people won't be looking to him to be the big man. So I mean, Chris Paul is just phenomenal. He's gonna be dishing, and people aren't gonna be expecting Odin to score. So you know he can throw in that like 12, 13 points a game, maybe 7 rebounds, and it'll help the team out definitely.
Yeah, he's played with Caron Butler before, who's their small forward. And, yeah, every team needs a sixth man. You know, he's going to be back home at the Staples Center. New team, but, I mean, I'm sure he's used to playing there. So I'm sure he'll take the offer. I don't think the Lakers can afford him, but maybe they do. I don't know. I mean, the Lakers, I think, are more concerned about getting their team as title healthy as they could possibly get before Kobe Bryant actually does need the hover around. But he's 33. He's got about 3-4 years left. I don't think with the Heat success right now that any team in the West is really going to have a shot unless they get a big player. The Heat are in the zone right now. But we'll see. There's going to be a lot of trades going on. This is going to be another offseason where you have not only a good draft, you're going to have big offseason moves. Where is Deron Williams going to go? I heard thoughts that he could either going to stay with the Brooklyn Nets or he's going to possibly go to Dallas. No, Houston, I believe. Yeah, it was Houston. I don't know why Houston, but he could possibly go to Houston. But obviously a lot going on with that, and we'll see. It's a long ways away until the season just ended, so a lot more to go.
I wouldn't count the Lakers out. I would say that they're going to make a big move for a seasoned veteran that they can, you know, push up some picks for, or they're going to get rid of somebody for a seasoned veteran so that they can make a run for it now because they know Kobe's only got a few years left, and he can't go with straight out of college and expect to win a championship. They need to go try and get somebody like a Dwight Howard, somebody like that, that knows how to play, knows how to win, and can complement Kobe at this point so that they can get that ring again before Kobe leaves. So I would look for the Lakers to make some big moves to get a big name who's, you know, up willing to take a little less money or something like that so that he could play for the Lakers and get a ring, because they can get a ring if they get that one element, and they're going to go for it. They're not going to draft plays.
Yeah, they're very similar to the Yankees. You can't picture them being a mediocre team ever. I mean, regardless of how they're actually playing, you know, every year they're expected to win the title or at least have a really good run at it. And as good as the Lakers were this year, they really weren't expected to win anything. They had a good, decent season. Like, you know, I think they were fourth in the Western Conference, but they were no match for OKC, and then they got to get back up there. So I expect them to definitely make a change. And it's going to be interesting. Now it's a little more interesting, a little more disappointing, only just from the fan side of it. Now, even if they do go out and make the trade, then you got to wait for David Stern to accept it. Remember, they did get CP3, and it got vetoed. So instead of they had him, but he ended up getting vetoed, and later on, CP3 obviously going in the same arena, but to the other LA team, the Clippers, which turned out to be good for that team. But we'll see what happens further on. I'm sure in the next few shows we'll talk more about it. Just other NBA news, Dwayne Wade is going to have knee surgery. He's not going to be in the Olympic team, which is not a big deal. I'd rather him be healthy. Obviously, the Olympics are going to be fine without him. They're going to have a great squad. Not sure exactly the plans, but you know LeBron will be there. Bosch will be there. Along with another, I don't know the entire roster, but they're going to be a great team. I'm sure they're going to come out with a roster soon. I don't think they came out yet. But Wade is going to have surgery. So that's just some news. And just other quick news. I think it's hockey news. Yeah. Sidney Crosby signs to make a deal, or he's going to sign. Looks like he's going to sign. It is going to be a contract. Let's see. It's going to be trying to get the exact amount here. We can average around $9 million a season. I think it's going to go through 2025. Yeah, it's going to be about a 12-13 year contract for Sidney Crosby and the Penguins. He's going to average about $9 million a year. He's always been struggling with injuries. The hockey obviously been full of concussions this year. Just like the NFL, it's been kind of crazy. But
how many hockey players can go that many years without, I mean, why would they even think of signing a deal that long with him? It's, I mean, I know he's a great player, but something is going to happen in that in the next 12 years. He's not going to last that long, but, you know, whatever, $9 million a year or nine, whatever they're going to give him a year for 12 years. I would take it if I were him, definitely, but that's a mistake in my opinion right there.
He knows that he's risky at this point, whether he knows more about himself than the Penguins do. But, yeah, the Penguins are getting a deal, too. I mean, it's a risk, but whatever. I mean, to secure the best hockey player in the world up for $9 million a year, I don't know how much hockey salaries are compared to NBA, but if you got the best basketball player in the world for $9 million a year, it's a pretty good deal. So I'm guessing this is somewhat of a good deal. Maybe the concussions work in the Penguins' favor. Maybe they got him cheaper than he's worth, but it may land, obviously, in the bad way. But now they have it secured, no worries. If for some reason he only plays 5 years and he can't play anymore, well, you still got him for 5 years, maybe a little bit more, but we'll see how it affects them. But now they can take the time with him. They don't have to worry about him. If he's on the team and they choose to take the time with him, it's okay. His contract's not going to run out. So it's all good with them. And just moving on. Just really quickly, I figured I'd update on the Game 5 of the NBA Finals. The Zen Man did have a pretty good prediction. I knew there wasn't going to be Game 7. I thought, I was being realistic, you know, we're probably not going to win 3 straight at home. I thought we were going to lose Game 4, but if we won Game 4, I knew we could win Game 5. Either way, he won on Game 2 and all 3 at home, winning the series of 5 games. And what a game that Game 5 was. They just came out. I kind of thought they would. You know, LeBron is that close to a title. He's going to come out and play as strong as he possibly could. And LeBron actually ended up with a triple-double. Didn't have a triple-double all year long. And he went to the last game of the NBA Finals to get a triple-double. So I thought that was pretty cool. Just checking out the box score here. Durant did his thing. He had 32 points and 11 rebounds. Just for the OKC, there was not a very good performance. James Harden, 19 off the bench. Russell Westbrook, 19 off the he's 19 starting. Derek Fisher, 11. And, of course, Durant, 32. Everybody else was in single digits. Westbrook had a 43-pointer, I think it was game 4, and they lost. Just going into the Heat's box score, LeBron James did have his first triple-double of the season in the last game of the season, 26 points, 13 assists, 11 rebounds, 2 blocks, 6 turnovers, only 2 fouls, 1 steal, not bad. He just came out and played like a champion. Dwayne Wade did all right, 20 points, 8 rebounds, 3 assists. Chris Bosh, 24 points, 7 rebounds. Mario Chalmers, 10 points, 7 rebounds, and Shane Battier, 11 points, 4 rebounds. But I think the biggest X factor in this game was Mike Miller coming off the bench, 7 of 11 from the field, all 7 were from a 3-point land. He actually was 0 for 3 from 2-pointers, but he was 7 for 8 from 3-pointers. I guess that's where his home is. He loves the outer, he loves the perimeter, and he actually had more points than minutes. I had the same amount of points than minutes. He had 23 minutes, 23 points. And he was obviously the huge spark on the bench. He went in with 15, he had 23. So obviously it's a point that you're not used to getting out of that source. Heat win 121 to 106. I did predict a 15-point win, 112 to 98-7, but I was not going to pick 121 for the Heat. Obviously it's kind of a high score of the Heat to take care of business. And LeBron James does capture his first ever championship. He also gets the Finals MVP, and if you all remember, he also won the season MVP, so I guess you can say an all-around great year for LeBron James, and there's a lot of emotions from him. So congratulations to Miami Heat, especially LeBron James. It's also the first title for pretty much the entire team. Udonis Haslam obviously won another title with Wade in 06, but Chris Bosh is his first title. What do you feel about the Miami Heat, just your thoughts. I mean, did you really pick them to win it when the playoffs started? did you even pick him when the final started? Like, what was your thoughts on it? Were you a little surprised, or were you just more I think that was going to happen?
Well, I knew they would win it. I didn't, you know, I figured in six, not in five. I thought they would win one of the games, you know, in the three stretch at home, the game four probably. But they didn't. They went straight through, which was good. You know, I'm happy for them, definitely for LeBron. I'm happy he's finally shut up all the naysayers, because when he came here, it upset me how many people turned around and, you know, just bashed him for leaving Cleveland and coming here because he wanted a ring. And then the first year when they didn't get the ring, everybody was just jumping on him again, like, you know, seeing you left Cleveland and look what happened. You're not going to get a ring. So to see him come through, or see the team come through, not just him, I mean, it's a team effort, to see the team come together and get the ring and do what they planned to do. I mean, it was a group effort. When they came together, I mean, Bosh, him, Wade, they all spoke before the decision was made and said, we're going to come here, salaries are going to be cut, we're going to do this so that we can get rings. To see them, what they decided to come together, come to fruition, was the best thing I could possibly ever see. And I'm, you know off that, I'm not a huge fan at all. But to see the players come together and win that ring, and this was their plan all along when they made these trades and when they left their respective teams to come to Miami, to see that happen was a great feeling. And I'm very happy for LeBron and Bosh. Wade was here already. He chose to stay, and that was a good thing. But to see, you know, these two guys come from where they were to leave and come here and win the ring after, the first year they got torn up. And, you know, everybody was like, oh, see, you know, this was a waste of your time. You shouldn't have done this. You should have stayed where you were. To see them get this now, and this is just the beginning. You know, they still got, what, four more years under their contract? I mean, they got at least 2 to 3 more rings to come.
Yeah, I don't see any reason why they would not win. I predicted just a rough, solid prediction that they were going to win. He's going to have 3 titles when he's done, but there's no reason. That's like saying that they weren't going to have to be at home. I think they have a good chance of winning the rest. They win the next 3 or 4 while they're all together, it wouldn't surprise me one bit. And if LeBron could somehow get 5 or 6 rings, the same as Jordan, then what are you going to say? That it's going to be awesome, I think. That's, every time he does something great, they try to figure out, well, why didn't he do more? But I will see, obviously. I don't want to look too far in the future to celebrate the win and come out strong next year and take 1 year at a time, 1 game at a time. But I think he's definitely matured, and I don't think I have a problem doing that. But just looking into the future, speaking of the postseason and the offseason, not the postseason, the offseason and all the big trades, just a free agent that we haven't talked about yet is Steve Nash, and yes, Ray Allen. But talk about Steve Nash. At a certain point, you think, well, we have too many players, and you know, if we win a title with all these players, does it really mean anything? And that title meant something, but I don't want to add more. I like my team. Why do we need to worry about the players if we just won a title? We're obviously good enough to win the title, and every year we're still going to get better because of all the talent we have. But what are your thoughts on Steve Nash? I love Steve Nash. He's actually one of my favorite players of all time, and it's really hard for me to sit there and be upset that we would get him. I mean, that would be insane. What do you think would be the outcome of getting Steve Nash? I don't care how old he is. He had the most assists last year, second in assists per game behind Rondo. Do you think that they would – I mean, they're almost unstoppable now, although they had a bunch of scares in the playoffs. What are your thoughts on Steve Nash? Do you think that Steve Nash, who is titleless, would – possibly join the Miami Heat? I mean, it's kind of tempting, don't you think? And he'll probably get an offer.
I think with him in the agency right now, him being, you know, up for grabs, the Heat are definitely going to look at him. I mean, if he's going to be on the Olympic team, I'm sure Riley will be watching him all the way to see what you know, transpires, if he gets injured or not. But I think he would definitely be an asset for the Heat. They don't need anybody right now because they just won a championship, but he would be an asset to the team. He can hit from the outside. He can pass. He can run for, you know, the full 48 minutes. You don't have to sit him down. He's got great court vision. You don't have to have the ball in Wade's hand or LeBron's hand coming up the court ever with him on the court. So they can just sit to the outside and, you know, just get the passes and hit their shots. And if worst case scenario, they double down on somebody, you have Steve Nash who can hit it from the 3-point line. So he'd be an asset to the team no matter what. It's just a matter of if he goes to the Olympics. Will he get injured? Will he get, you know, healthy over the off season? Because he did have some back problems during the season where, you know, he was sitting on the sidelines, you know, getting massaged up. So he wasn't playing full games, but, you know, I think he'd definitely be an asset to the Heat, and I would want him. I would be coming to Heat fan if he came here.
Yeah, Steve Nash is scary. I mean, you look at all the other point guards, like our Wes Westbrook, Rajon Rondo, Chris Paul. Nobody says anything about Steve Nash except for me. Look at Steve Nash's eyes. Tell me you're not afraid of that team when you see the big three and you have Steve Nash just dishing the ball. That is insane, and it freaks me out. But if we got him, like I said, I don't want, like, say we got Dwight Howard, I wouldn't be happy with that because then we got way too much talent on our team. Like, it's not even fun. Like, but if we got Steve Nash, you know, regardless of his age, he'll be like 38, 39, but he's just such a great guy, and he's worked so hard in his career, and as bad as his team has been, you know, he's still been a great point guard. He's still found ways to win this team. Not only can he dish the ball as good as he can score as good as anybody. He can hit threes. He's such a confident player and clutch and everything else. You know that sound, and it's time for your Sentinel Sports Rap Stat of the Week with the Zen Man, and yes, with Hootie. And I've been trying to think of a cool stat, but I got one stat that's number one, and that's one championship, one ring. LeBron can finally put something on his finger and say, you know, all right, I'm catching up. I started the race, and it's only the beginning. LeBron James got his first ring, and the haters won't stop, but now they have something else to say. Why don't you have more? But he's got one. So now all the jokes about all the, you know, like when Dwayne Wade calls LeBron James, everybody be saying, yeah, it's the only ring that LeBron's ever going to get. But none of that makes sense anymore. So it's all good.
I mean, how many years did he play with the Cavs?
Well, he was drafted in 03 with Wade and everybody. So, well, he got here in 11. So was that 7 or 8 years? I think 8 years. So.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it took Jordan 6, and Jordan's considered the best player ever. So, I mean, come on now. He won it in the Sixers. So, you know, it took Jordan 5 years, and in the sixth year, he got his first ring. So you can't blame LeBron. And then he was on a team that didn't have help like Jordan has. So, you know, he came to the Heat and got it in 2 years. I'm happy. I'll take that anyway.
Yeah, and something I just wanted to touch base on. Everybody was saying how LeBron betrayed his team. He was there for 8 years and made the finals twice, and the owners gave him nothing. You know, I'm sorry, but you can afford a second good player to help LeBron out, especially when you're that close to winning a title, and they didn't help him at all. They got really aged Shaquille O'Neal, and they got an Antoine Jameson towards the end of his career there in like 09 or 10. I mean, that's not going to do it. LeBron, all he needed was a little bit of help. He had nobody. He had Drew Sosgalskis and Mo Williams. That wasn't going to put him over the top. I mean, he is a much different player now, a much overall player, all-around player. But, you know, he had to do what he had to do, and it's tough. And he wanted to win a ring, but now he got it, and now he good. Now he good. But, there's a lot more to come in the NBA offseason. A lot of big names. It should be interesting. I'm just happy that the Heat are set. I don't have to worry about it. But I do feel for all these other teams, I might lose a big player. Dwight Howard still is a big name, so we'll see if he goes anywhere. We'll see if anybody decides to team up. You got to think Darren Williams and Howard might team up somewhere. That'd be a deadly combo. I don't know if they're going to get the Heat a run for the money, but you got to definitely look at it, especially if they join anybody else that's good. So keep an eye on that. I got about 25 minutes left. You don't like to get my MLB update towards later on the show. I guess I'll just cross it in my top three plays. Hootie, you ready for the top three plays?
Yeah, I'm ready for them. Give them to me.
each other and all those things. Why did I take a penalty?
What happened there? He buried me. Angel at the Orioles, J.J. Hardy, but it's Mike Trout. Unbelievable catch.
Takes a home run away from J.J. Hardy.
Guys for that.
It's like Michael Jordan. Look at that.
What a play by the 20-year-old.
That is impressive. Nice camera shot. Angels win. That's number one.
The best radio announcement I could find. It was ended up being a top. I think it was actually only the third top play or something. But yeah, no, it was a top play. Yeah, he robbed. You know, sometimes these robs or when you rob a home run, it's questionable. Like maybe he wouldn't have gone over, but that one, the guy literally almost dove over the fence to catch this one. But a great play by Mike Trout for the Angels. Here is play number two. This is a barrage by Mike Miller in Game 5 of the NBA Finals, an unexpected hero. And it's good to see you guys for struggling come up such a big way. Here it is.
Mike Miller has come on for Miami. Miller will try a three-pointer. That's good! Second three-pointer for Miami. Off the ball. Miller will try another three. Back-to-back three! Hadn't hit one all series, and here in Game 5, comes off the bench and knocks down a couple.
It's the only turnover where you're double penalized as Miller lines up another three.
Mike Miller, 3 for 3 from downtown. James kicks it out. Miller for three. Bang! Mike Miller, 4 for 4 from downtown. And the Heat lead by 15.
Mike, the threes made by your team are a large part of the separation you've been able to get. What's opening those clean looks?
Well, they got double LeBron, and they got double D-Wade and CB as well. So we get the opportunity, just got to let it fly. Enjoy the moment.
Miller for three. Pucks it in. Mike Miller, 5 for 5 from downtown. And the Heat have blown this open. Miller, another three. 6 three-pointers from Mike Miller. Miller tries it again. Bang! Mike Miller on fire. 7 three-pointers. And Mike Miller hobbling to the bench. 7 of 8 from downtown. 23 points in 23 minutes. Playing with that bad back. Had hardly played in the first 4 games of this series. One of the great shooting performances in an NBA Finals game.
That was just crazy. Mike Miller came up huge, and you can just tell that he really had it in the whole time and just came out in the finals in the game 5, the closing out game. So great play by him. And I really didn't know what else to pick for number one. But let's just go back to the same game and go towards the end of the game here. We're going to play number one. Here's the Heat winning the NBA championship.
And LeBron James caps off an MVP regular season with a magnificent playoff run and an extraordinary performance in the finals. No doubt he'll be named the finals MVP. We'll get it official coming up in a little bit as the shot clock is turned off. The Miami Heat are once again NBA champions. LeBron James captures that elusive title he so desperately coveted.
Yeah, I'm not trying to play it up too much, but that was the championship, and you got to give that to number one play, man. You got to give it to him. So, they say 2 weeks ago, my number one play was the LA Kings with the Stanley Cup. You got to show love for the champions, man. Right?
I'm all for the LA Kings. I mean,
isn't it?
The LA Kings came in out of nowhere, you know. I mean, the last of the divisions can either come in lowest seed. Come out of nowhere, and you know you get teams like the Flyers and the Penguins and the Red Wings that are expected to win every year, and then you get this team that comes out of nowhere and wins it all. And I love when that happens, you know, especially in the Jerseys and the New York stuff like that. I love that.
That's not what I asked, Troy.
Isn't it?
No.
Isn't it?
Yes.
I'll just mess with you. But, yeah, it was both of them. I mean, I didn't believe in the Kings, but they sure did it, and they sell out of records. How's that beer going over there, Hootie?
It's going all good. Almost done. We got to wrap it up.
And you chugging them down by the minute. With that. All right, Hootie. Glad you're enjoying the beer, man. It's all good. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, just moving into my final segment here.
And here we go. First snap of the overtime. The Broncos have been in three overtime games this year. They won them all. Got him at the 40. It's Thomas at the 50. Stiffer got him three to the 30. To the 20. Thomas to the 10. Stiffer's going on the New England. They win it on the first play of overtime.
Man, I just realized all these awesome plays I still have here on the limb. How about this one?
LeBron will send it in for the Heat. Wade looking for the alley-oop, couldn't get it. LeBron on the spin, back to Chalmers. Mike D'Antoni won't call timeout and let the Raptors set up their D. The crowd on its feet here at the Air Canada Center. Lynn puts it up. Bang! Jeremy Lynn from downtown, and the Knicks take the lead.
Nah, this man's getting a little button happy right here. Let's move into my real next segment here.
Really, Jeremy Lynn fires it from downtown? Really?
Yeah, who doesn't love Jeremy Lynn and Tim Tebow, man? two great stories, of course. Let's move in really quickly. I'd like to get you guys ready for the Friday, Saturday, Sunday series in baseball. And coming up tomorrow, we have the Yankees hosting the White Sox, Orioles hosting the Indians, Blue Jays, and, oh, I'm sorry, that is actually today's schedule, and they're in progress. I was about to say, it's only like 2 games tomorrow. All right, scratch that. Fully new slate tomorrow. How about the Cubs hosting the Astros? Couldn't have a more unappealing game possible, but if you really are a fan of horrible teams, tune in to the Cubs-Astros. Should be a great matchup for you guys. Yankees hosting the White Sox. That should be fun. Adam Dunn, most home runs this year, I believe. He's up there. He's going to come to Yankee Stadium, maybe hit a few out there. It's a pretty easy part to hit home runs out of. The Orioles hosting the Indians, Blue Jays and the Angels, Rays playing home to the Tigers. What about this series? Marlins host of the Phillies. I believe you going to that game, Booty?
Yeah, I'm definitely going to tomorrow's game. Got to be there.
Now, what are your expectations for the new park? I mean, I already know about it. I know what I like about it, but what are you hoping for? Do you have high expectations?
I expect it to be the best park out there. I mean, I've been to quite a few parks, and this better. I mean, the whole hype about it coming downtown and the retractable roof and the whole nine, you know, and I hear about the Clevelander and all these wonderful things about this park. It better be all that, because I've heard about the new Yankee Stadium, and I heard it is, like, really fantastic. So, and I've heard about the new Mets Stadium. I heard it's really fantastic. And I've been to Citizens Bank. That is fantastic. So you guys better marvel me tomorrow.
Well, you know, the Fanatic wouldn't let that Citizens Bank Park be fan, not anything but fanastic, right? So. Fanatic, you know, the best mascot over there, too. I'm sure he helped with the atmosphere. But another NL East matchup, Braves host the Nationals. I think the Nationals might get the better of them. They're playing high right now. Rangers host the Athletics. I'm just going to say Athletics are going to get smashed. Brewers host the D-backs. Twins hosting the Royals. That will be another horrible matchup. I don't know what's worse, Twins, Royals, Cubs, Astros. That's the worst four teams in baseball. Yeah, Rockies host the Padres. Cardinals host the Pirates. Mariners host to the Red Sox. You have the Dodgers home against the Mets and the Giants home against the Reds. That'll be your weekend matchup. So that appeals to you. Go for it. I'm digging my matchup, obviously, Marlins-Phillies. Even though we are the worst two teams in the division, it still says appealing because they've been, especially the Phillies, been the top two teams in the division the last few years. What are your thoughts on the Marlins and the Phillies being in the bottom of the division? Do you think that's more of the Nationals or more of the Marlins and the Phillies playing horrible?
It's more of the Marlins and the Phillies playing horrible. I mean, at least as far as the Phillies go, you know, they have good pitching, but they can't seem to give run support. And then when they do get run support, the pitching just falls apart. I mean, I can't even explain what kind of meltdown they're going through right now. You know, but it won't happen for long. They're going to start gelling right now. I mean, you know, you got your Howard, you got your Rollins. You know, these guys are going to start playing together eventually. I mean, I've seen some errors, some bad fielding, bad hitting going on, and it just can't go on for long. I mean, Manuel's going to get these guys together. And, you know, you got Chase back, and he's already doing good. So we're going to be good. Jim Thome is definitely, you know, the bat we needed. You know, so hopefully it just is going to turn around. And I think this is the series that will turn them around for the year. Coming out of the All-Star break, they're going to be smoking.
Yeah, you're right, and I think the same thing about the Marlins. You have a coach like Ozzie Guillen. I mean, obviously they proved themselves with the month before they had, setting a franchise record with 22 wins. And obviously with a coach like Ozzie Guillen, he's not going to settle for anything less than a good team. So he's going to – and that team is a good team. They have a lot of great players. They just have to start winning games. Maybe it's just new players trying to work together. I don't know if that's really the case. I mean, the three main new players is, you know, one guy in the infield and Jose Reyes, who he seems like he can work with anybody. And this is breaking news for the Zen Man, at least. Looks like Marlins' Giancarlo Stanton will be representing the NL in the Home Run Derby. That is great news. That's all I was hoping for. That's actually what I was just looking for right now. It says previous Marlins to be in the Home Run Derby, Gary Sheffield, Miguel Cabrera, Dan Uggla, and Hanley Ramirez. Nobody's won it this far. I don't know if you know too much about Giancarlo Stanton, but if you watch any sports center, you've seen his name before. Do you think he has a legitimate chance to finally capture his first crown for the Marlins?
As home run champion, anybody has a chance. I mean, these guys swing the bat, and they swing the bat ruthlessly. And you know what? You choose who's pitching to you. So, I mean, as long as he swings steady, he has a chance to win it. As long as he chooses the right person to throw to him, he can win it. You know, and
that's not what I asked, Troy.
Isn't it?
No.
Isn't it?
Yes.
Nah, right. They can choose anybody they want, and sometimes they just struggle. It's weird. It's the easiest pitch in the world. They hit 90-mile-an-hour, 100-mile-an-hour fastballs out, but they can't sit here and get just, like, a little softball pitch. You know, so you're right, but... Hanley had a chance not too long ago. I believe David Ortiz won it. Was it? I think so. But either way, I love the Home Run Derby. It's my favorite event. And it's great to see one of our local players play for it. And obviously, Stan is my favorite player. So he's younger than me by about 4 months. And the guy's already broken one of the scoreboards out in left field. So the guy's a monster. And then hopefully he can represent the Marlins here in the Home Run Derby. And just speaking of baseball, I got you guys ready for the upcoming series. And how about quickly the updated standings? Six divisions, three in each league. I always start off with the American League East. The Yankees are now, wow, it's actually amazing. I don't follow it throughout the week. I just look at it. On my radio days, and the Yankees are now running away with it. 46-28, they now have the best record in the AL East, a five-game lead now in Baltimore, who is five games back, obviously, 41-33, Boston 6.5 back, tied with Tampa, and Toronto now 8.5 back. No reason really to ask for your opinion. I mean, the Yankees are just playing like they should play, and I believe the owner actually came and talked to them after they had a pretty bad month, and that really kick-started their season. They've been playing lights out. They had a 10-game win streak before the Braves put all to that. But obviously, they look like they're on a roll, and I don't see any reason why they're going to slow down. They're going to win this division outright. But it look for now that there's two wild card teams, still look for Baltimore, Boston, and Tampa Bay to at least get one of those spots. So we'll look to see about that. Any thoughts on that?
I mean, the East is always they're always the toughest division in both the National League and the American League. So you're always going to look for the hottest team to come out of there and your wild card team to come out of there. Boston's never going to give up. Boston is always a tough team, and especially since everybody in Boston hates the Yankees. So they're going to come out of there tough. I don't predict Baltimore. I mean, Baltimore came out of nowhere, but, you know, I think Boston is going to be a wild card team in the American League, because they still have a better record than everybody else in the American League. You know, they're like six games back or something. You can't count them out. I think they'll be the wild card team. The Yankees will just drift into the playoffs, as they always do. And, you know, they could always just lose in the first round of the playoffs, as they sometimes do.
Well, you still got to worry about two teams here that aren't division leaders, and that's the LA Angels and the Detroit Tigers. Not to even mention Tampa Bay Rays. I think out of those three teams, including Baltimore, two of those teams will be the wild card. I don't see Boston making the playoffs. They have too many problems right now. A new coach, I don't think as qualified as Francona was. My honest guess is I think it will be Tampa and the Angels. I think we'll win the wild card. So we'll see. If this day man's right, I like making predictions. So for pitch right there, the Yankees obviously winning the division. In the AL Central, the White Sox have their 40-35, a 2.5 game lead on Cleveland. Four games back is Detroit. Detroit is really, really good. They have the best pitcher in the baseball and the best hitter with Miguel Cabrera. And they still have Prince Fielder just sitting there, too. I think that they're going to make a run. But they just haven't done anything yet. I still think the Angels and, like I said, Tampa are going to make a run. But if anybody else is going to take that spot, Detroit should be a favorite. And like I said, I still think Baltimore, after this long, will have a chance to. Moving into the AL West, Texas is leading 47-29. They have the best record in the AL and baseball altogether. 4.5 games back is the Angels. Oakland, 37-39. They're 10 games back. Seattle, 15.5 back. They're done. In the National League, the NL East, the Nats are still leading the NL East. They're 43-31. They have a 3-game lead on Atlanta, 4-game lead on the Mets, 8.5 games back is Miami, and 9 back is Philly. I believe in Washington, man. I really do. But I hope that Miami can regain its momentum and have a great month next month. The NL Central, the 16 division, Cincinnati, 41-33. They only have a game and a half lead on Pittsburgh. St. Louis, 2 games back. So it's a close lead there, close race. And a little further on the distance, Milwaukee, 7.5 games back. Houston, 9.5 games back. And the Lonely Cubs are 15.5 games back. In the NL West, the Dodgers and the Giants. Ow, this is actually – now, I want to say this is surprising, but it's really not. The Dodgers and the San Francisco Giants have the same record. They're tied in the division. The reason I say it's surprising is the Dodgers have been lights out all year, but they are suffering injuries from Andre Theard and Matt Kemp. Matt Kemp came off the DL, got injured 2 games later, and he's back on the DL. And now Andre Ether, who was clearly the second best hitter, and you saw a triple crown threat who almost had it last year, and Andre Ether, who actually is just as good of a hitter. They're both out for the Dodgers. Biggest reason they've lost that lead. But even with those injuries, they're still tied first with San Francisco. So that could be a close lead, only because of injuries. If they get healthy, the Dodgers will run out of that instantly. Everybody else, the Diamondbacks are 5 games back. Maybe they try to make a run. If the Dodgers, like I said, the Dodgers have to be injured for anybody else in the division to have a chance. But that's how it stands. They're both tied right now. And last thing I want to get into really quickly is the stats. And just looking at your hitting leaders, how about this? Who do you think the best hitter in the National League is? Or actually in all of baseball? Carlos Ruiz, batting .362. How do you feel about that?
Hey, anytime it's one of my boys at work, and they just got off the plane, they just arrived, and they're on their way to the hotel, so it's a good thing.
You heard it from here first. Ryan Brooks has the location of the Phillies plane heading into Miami. But I'm sure he didn't know that. So he is batting .362, right behind David Wright, batting .357. Joey Votto, 353 you know, I see him Cabrera, and I always want to say Miguel, but it's actually Melky Cabrera for the San Francisco Giants, batting fourth best average at 351. And Mike Trout, he was on your top eight plays. He is the number five average with 344. Carlos Gonzalez, 338. Andrew McCutchen, 336. Looking at home runs, which I was a little confused about earlier, it is Jose Bautista with 25 homers, and there is Adam Dunn. He is ageless wonder over here. He has 24 homers, tied with Josh Hamilton. Josh Hamilton, look at that. A month and a half ago, he was leading every category by a mile, but he's kind of fallen off. Now batting only 312 for Hamilton, but he still has 24 homers. Can't deny that. And speaking of Adam Dunn, he's actually on the record-setting pace for strikeouts. You look at Jose Bautista with 50 strikeouts and 25 homers. Hamilton, 72 strikeouts with 24 homers. And then Adam Dunn, 121 strikeouts with 24 homers. He's hitting a lot of homers and making a lot of strikeouts. Average is only 216. It's pretty bad, but I guess he's still productive. And I don't know what else to expect from him other than home runs. Edwin Encarnacion with 22 homers. Curtis Granderson, 21, tied with the ageless one over there in Fenway, David Ortiz. And then Carlos Beltran, what about him? He's got 20 homers. He's getting old, but he replaced Pujols, and he's been way better than Pujols has been. 20 homers for the St. Louis. He's been a great story over there. Tied with Ryan Braun, who also has 20 homers as well. And just looking quickly at your RBI leaders, it should be about the same. Josh Hamilton, 67 RBIs. And then Miguel Cabrera has 60. Carlos Beltran with 59. Jose Bautista with 58. And Adam Dunn with 57. And just really quickly getting into your pitching stats, which I always forget, but it's still just as important. Your ERA leader is still Brandon Beachy, but he's done for the year. He's going to go to surgery, Tommy John, I believe, but finished with a 2 ERA, only 5-5 regular there for the Braves, but a 2 ERA. Behind him is Ryan Dempster. He's 3-3, but he has a 2.11 ERA. That's what happens when he plays the Cubs. Miley for the Arizona Diamondbacks, the 2.19 ERA. Johnny Cueto, 2.21 for the Cincinnati Reds. And Ryan Vogelsong with a 2.23. That is for the San Francisco Giants. And that is pretty much it, guys. I just wanted to get you guys quickly caught up. Just a couple quick news that I forgot to mention. Just if you guys didn't know already, Jerry Sandusky, obviously from Penn State, obviously the long-awaited trial for him. He ended up getting acquitted on 40. He gets found guilty of 45 of 48 counts. He is going to be serving over 400 years in prison. I don't care if you're 5 years old or 80 years old, which he is. You're not going to get out of prison. You're serving 400 years. So he's going to be in prison. He's got 90 days before he has to be doing prison, be doing court, in jail cells. So I don't know what's going to happen to him. I don't know if he's going to make it to the cell. That's my only prediction. But he is he's going to be locked away for life, which is good news. Some people are saying that, you know, hey, he's still breathing, but I'd rather just set him. The guy did a lot of bad things, and I'm glad he's going to jail forever. So about time that the jury system did anything right. My final thought is obviously the Miami Heat. Not worried about the draft, and we have the best teams in basketball. I do believe that. We're only getting better because now we're going to enter our third year with the Big Three. I think we're only getting better. I think we're going to win two or three more titles. And I hope I'm right. Any final thoughts over there, Hootie?
Well, I definitely think they can at least get two more titles out of this team. I hope three, maybe four. I mean, this is an amazing team that they put together, and I just hope it comes together for them. Unfortunately, that means the teams that I like will actually have to lose, but it's all good. Yeah, it's all good.
All right, guys, with that, if you guys haven't noticed already, we have the NBA draft over there on ESPN. I'll be replaying this at 11 o'clock. With that, make sure you join Captain Finger Thread and that crew over there on Tuesday night for the Twitter Sports Talks. And this has been another edition of the Southern Sports Wrap here on the Ship Shore Radio on blogtalkradio.com. Thank you, Hootie, for joining me. And with that, I'll see you guys next Thursday night. And good luck to all your teams out there. Good luck to your horrible teams. Hope you guys get some good draft picks. Later, guys.
Then my call on fire.
You're listening to Ship to Shore Radio. Radio.
Terrific defense by Wade and a nice rebound by Bosch. Here comes Lane for the bomb. Rock City East strikes again.
You can see it coming all the way. LeBron was up ahead of him in the right lane.
Take a look around, tears from their eyes, knees on the ground, money in the sky. Take a look around, ain't shit nice, praying for my life, hope I make it through the night. Take a look around.
Hanley drives it to center field, that ball's deep. Back goes Schaefer, at the wall.
Take a look around.
Gone! My goodness, an absolute bomb.
Take a look around.
Reggie Bush. With a big hole, hurtling a defender, and there he goes! And the dagger for the Miami Dolphins!
This is the Southernmost Sports Wrap, only at Ship to Shore Radio.